Alonso finished second and Kimi Räikkönen was third. BBC News.
Now on Radio 4, the classic serial, a dramatisation of one of the great novels of the 20th century. Nick Carraway has been asked to invite his cousin Daisy to tea.
The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. Dramatized by Robert Forrest. Episode 2.
Gatsby leans with one elbow against my mantelpiece. He's wearing a white flannel suit, a silver shirt, and a golden tie. The pose is a strained counterfeit of ease. A cream-colored shoe taps rapidly on the hearth. There are dark signs of sleeplessness beneath his eyes.
Have you got everything you need?
What might I need?
In the way of tea, I mean.
It's all ready. I have lemon cakes from the delicatessen, 12 of them.
Do you think the rain will stop? One of the papers said it would. The Journal, I think. Of course, you can't really trust the Journal. I hope you don't mind me having your grass cut.
Not at all, thank you.
Oh, I've been meaning to say, Elsport. You're selling bonds, that's right?
Trying to.
Well, here's the thing. I carry on a little business on the side, a sideline I thought you might be interested in. It wouldn't take up much of your time, and you could pick up a nice bit of money. It's a confidential kind of thing. You wouldn't have to deal with Wolfsheim.
I'm much obliged, but my hands are full right now.
Understood. Well, I suppose I'll go home.
Home?
Nobody's coming to tea. It's too late.
It's just 2 minutes to four. That must be her. Relax. Pour a drink if you like.
Is this absolutely where you live, darling?
Yes, it is. Come in, Daisy.
I've told the chauffeur to come back in an hour.
Good.
We don't want him sitting outside being conspicuous, do we?
That would never do.
So, Nick, listen. Are you in love with me?
No.
You don't want us to become kissing cousins?
No.
Then why was I not to bring Tom? Who is Tom, by the way? And why are we here alone?
I really do not know. Excuse me, sorry.
Oh, no. Such mysterious fun.
For God's sake, Gatsby, what is this? Some kind of farce?
I hope not.
You vanish, you reappear, and you're soaked.
She's here?
Of course she's here. Come through. Here at last, Daisy, my other guest, Mr. Gatsby.
We've met before.
Not for a long time.
5 years, next November.
I'm awfully glad to see you again.
I live next door. It took me just 3 years to earn the money that bought that house.
But your inheritance, living like a Raja.
Oh, I lost all that in the big panic. Since then, I've been in several things. I was in the drug business and I was in the oil business. I'm not in either one now.
You live in that huge place? Any family?
No family at all. But I keep it full of people, interesting people who do interesting things, celebrated people.
Lovely.
And I have a folder. It's full of clippings, photos.
How fascinating.
They're all about you. They go back years.
How? I don't know the word.
Well, I'll leave you two for a while.
Where are you going?
I have things to see to.
Tea things?
I'll be back soon.
I wait under a tree whose massed leaves shelter me from the rain, which is beginning to slacken. There is much about Gatsby's behavior today which is puzzling. There have been moments when he's acted like an impetuous but embarrassed boy. And then there was that look on his face when he again, after almost 5 years, set eyes on Daisy. What was that look? Bewilderment? Doubt? Disappointment? Even fear? Had the actual woman tumbled far short of his dream of her, not through any fault in her, but because of the colossal vitality of his own illusion? Gatsby's dream had gone beyond her, beyond everything, and the beginning of understanding that had shown in his baffled expression. But the look disappeared as soon as she spoke. He adjusted, straightened, and his deathly paleness began to take color. Her voice. It was the warmth of her voice that brought him back, as if her voice were a deathless song. I'll give them another 5 minutes.
Nick, old sport, welcome back.
Why, thank you.
We've had a first-class talk, Daisy and me. But I have to tell you, I almost knocked the clock over off the mantelpiece. I caught it just in time.
Good. It's stopped raining.
Excellent news. The journal was right after all. You hear that, Daisy? It stopped raining.
That is good, Jay.
We can go out now.
What about tea?
Would you mind terribly if we missed it, Nick? Jay would like to show me his house.
You too, of course. All three of us.
Fine.
I'll go upstairs before we go and wash my face. I'm afraid I've been weeping like a maiden.
You all right, old sport?
My bathroom. She'll see my towels.
The tour begins with the gardens, in the fragrances of jonquil and hawthorn and plum blossom and kiss me at the gate. Daisy could not climb the marble steps more daintily if she were wearing glass slippers. Inside, I follow her and Gatsby through the Marie Antoinette music room, the Restoration Salon, the Merton College Library, then upstairs through period bedrooms and gilded bathrooms and a pool room and a gym, and finally into Gatsby's own apartment. He must, of course, be revaluing all his possessions as he imagines they appear to Daisy's lovely and much-loved eyes. He shows that bewildered expression again. In Daisy's astoundingly real presence, can all these mere things be real? But now he throws open a gleaming mahogany cabinet and begins to pull out the ultimate treasure, his shirts.
All sorts, you see? Mm-hmm. For every occasion, every weather, every mood. I have a man in England. He sends over a selection at the beginning of the season, spring and fall. Linen, silk, fine flannel. You see?
I do see.
Stripes and scrolls and plaids, coral, apple green, bottle green.
New leaf green?
Yes. That's exactly it, old sport. New leaf green, blue, lavender, orange, yellow, lots of monograms. Oh, you like that one?
It's beautiful. It smells of...
What, Daisy? Like its color? Lavender?
Daisy. Daisy, what's wrong?
It just makes me sad. Because I've never seen such things. I've never seen such beautiful shirts before.
Yes? I can't talk now. No, I said a small town. He's no use to me if Detroit is his idea of a small town. I can't talk. Daisy, come to the window. Look, if it wasn't for the mist, we could see your house across the bay. Right there. You have a green light at the end of your dock.
Have I?
It burns all night. Will you come to one of my parties?
Oh, yes. And bring...
Your husband? Of course.
You know, I've been told there's an underground pipeline that runs all the way from Canada. The bootleggers bring in liquor that way. You think Gatsby knows about that?
Don't be ridiculous, Tom.
I'm ridiculous? He wears a pink suit.
You see that woman under the plum tree?
She's gorgeous.
As an orchid. The man bending over her is her director.
Of course. It's really her.
Are we to be impressed by actors? Even drunk ones? I've seen at least half a dozen oil men here and three bankers. Now there's power.
Speaking of drunk, should we wake our sleeping beauty here?
Miss, excuse me, miss.
No, no, the pool is far too deep. Oh, hello? You've come back.
I simply had to.
Oh, they tried to stick my head in the pool. If there's one thing I hate, it's to get my head stuck in a pool. They almost drowned me once. That was in New Jersey.
Alice, there you are. Where have you been?
She's been avoiding the pool.
I thought she might be hiding from me.
No, I like you, Clip Banger.
Springer, Clip Springer.
That's right, I knew it was odd. And you know I'm terrified of water.
I'll protect you.
It's all my parents' fault. They instilled it in me. From an early age, they instilled and instilled all kinds of things in me. Except a shower. Oh, I do love a cold shower. Will you take me upstairs to the shower, please?
Well, I suppose I could.
I'll take her. Come on, Alice.
Oh, do we know each other well enough?
I'll take you as far as the door and then wait outside for you.
Protecting me?
To the death. Then we'll go to the library and talk till we're totally sober and utterly fearless. Come on.
Let I simply wander in, use a shower?
And the library.
And where does he find this menagerie?
A lot of them find him.
Yeah, I'm told the newspapers have found him, too.
What do you mean?
Some young reporter's been, going around, asking questions.
What kind of questions?
Empty ones, Daisy. Random shots.
Jay, hello. The party's wonderful.
Thank you, Daisy. I love to arrange these things. Keeps me busy.
Like a kind of hobby?
And I like to watch them all mingle and talk. And you know how it is, Tom. People think I'm a mystery, so they say I'm a mystery. It gets around. Stories get around. The reporter was just a cop who'd heard a story or two, so he came sniffing out here on his day off. He wouldn't even say what stories he'd heard. He was trying to be mysterious. I'm not. I'm just a private man. I fall way short of being news. You folks got all you need?
Absolutely. It's even cooling down a little. Did you arrange that, too?
I do my best.
It has been painfully hot.
But you always look cool, Jay. I've never seen you not looking cool.
Say, why don't we all take a trip into the city one day soon? The four of us, and you bring Miss Baker, Nick.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's get together without quite so much of a menagerie.
Tom had been looking at Daisy as he spoke, and now his lips remained slightly parted. He looks from Daisy to Gatsby and back to Daisy, as if he had just recognized her as someone he knew long ago. She had told Gatsby she loved him, and Tom had seen.
She didn't have a good time.
Of course she did.
I don't think she understands.
Understands what?
She used to understand. We'd sit for hours.
I wouldn't ask too much of her.
I'm going to fix everything just the way it was before. She'll see.
You can't repeat the past.
You can't repeat the past? Why, of course you can.
He is gazing off into the dusk. I gaze with him. And what do we see? Beyond dusky trees and years, the blocks of a sidewalk in Louisville? Blocks that made a ladder which mounted to a secret place above the trees. If he climbed that ladder alone, he might suck on the pap of life. Such a man might gulp down the milk of wonder. But does he fear that if he kisses this girl, weds his visions to her perishable breath, his mind will never romp again like the mind of God? My mind is adrift and very sleepy.
Well, now, Gatsby, that is quite a vehicle.
It's gorgeous.
Why, thank you.
It's not always yellow and green and silver are gorgeous together.
So what's the idea?
What idea, old sport?
Well, what do we plan to do in the city?
We could see a movie.
Oh, it's far too hot. A ride in Central Park. Or somewhere with five bathrooms.
That's good. A cold bath each.
And mint juleps for all.
We could take a parlor suite at the Plaza Hotel.
Yes, a bath and a mint julep.
We could have both here in our house.
Oh, but the Plaza, Tom, much more fun.
Is this thing standard ship?
Yes, it is.
Would you let me drive it?
If you want to.
Fine. And you can have my coupe. Come on, Daisy. I'll take you in the circus wagon.
Listen, it looks too fast to me.
Fast? Well, that depends on the driver.
Take Jordan instead if she likes.
Would my dress match the color scheme?
Absolutely. And Nick, too, of course. And we'll follow in the coupe.
All three of us, even Jordan, have been quiet for several minutes. And now, as we move into the ash and wilderness ahead of us, are the giant salesman eyes of Dr. T.J. Eckelberg, absent oculist. Today the gaze seems amused, sardonic. I know Tom's eyes have been turning on me now and then as he drives. I'm just about to break the silence.
Maybe we should fill up.
There's enough to get us to town.
Why risk getting stalled in this baking heat?
All right.
Wilson's place?
Now, why not? Daisy knew Gatsby before we were married. You two knew that, didn't you?
Only recently.
Well, recently I've been making an investigation of the man.
The Oxford man.
Like hell. Oxford? Him in his pink suits and his gypsy caravan car?
Are you really such a snob, Tom? And if you are, why are we going to New York with him?
Well, maybe we'll have a chance to talk. Away from all his gorgeous friends.
Haven't seen this one before, Mr. Buchanan.
You like it?
It's a nice shade of yellow.
You know, like to buy it?
I don't think so.
No? Now, a bit out of your league.
But that other one of yours, I'd still like to bid for that one. I could make some money on that. We could use some money to go west on.
Who's we?
My wife and me. We've been here too long. She's been talking about the west for 10 years. And now, I'm gonna make sure we get away. I got wised up to something, and it's making me sick.
Sick you are, but wise you're not. And if I go west with you, we'd both be sick.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
We sure will. Hello, Mr. Buchanan.
Hello, Mrs. Wilson.
Are you not going to introduce us to your lovely wife?
What? Actually, she's suffering a bit, the heat. How much do I owe you?
$1.20. And your old car. Don't forget me.
I almost expect Wicked Jordan to lean out and say, I'm not his wife, I'm another woman entirely. On Myrtle's face, one emotion after another shows, like images in a developing picture. Among them, of course, is jealousy, and growing now is something like terror.
Oh, people are being married downstairs.
I know. Hope never dies. The foolish young creature.
Don't do this cynical thing, Daisy.
But imagine getting married in this heat.
I got married in the heat. Louisville in June. Mm. Somebody fainted. Who was it fainted, Tom?
Biloxi.
That's right, Biloxi. And he made boxes, Biloxi.
I remember him. They carried him fainted away into my house. Mm-hmm. He stayed 3 weeks. Daddy finally told him to get out. The next day, Daddy died. I don't think there was a connection.
Oh, we think we're so funny. Us rich, young, cynical creatures.
No, we don't. We pretend we think we're funny.
This is worse than Louisville. It's ferocious. Oh.
Will I open another window?
And they're all open.
Well, call room service. Have them send up an axe.
Yes, break open a few more windows. Chase out the ferocious heat.
Well, maybe if we stop talking about it, try to forget about it.
Good idea, old sport. You make it worse if you crab on about it.
Crab on? Is that quite a gentlemanly phrase? And you an Oxford man? Is that where you picked up this old sport business? In Oxford?
I'm not an Oxford man.
Really? Well, I was told you went to Oxford.
I did. Nick can tell you. He's seen a photograph.
What, Oxford, New Mexico?
England. I was there in 1919, only for 5 months. It was an opportunity they gave to some of the officers after the armistice.
Yes, of course.
We could go to any university in France or England.
What are you grinning at, Nick?
And another little mystery solved, I think. Solved with simple honesty.
Well, we could all do with some more honesty and less cynicism. On all sides, it's all we see. Cynicism and sneering and marriage, family life. If we don't watch out, they'll throw everything overboard.
Your husband, Daisy, stands alone on the battlements of civilization.
All alone.
Well, somebody has to. Or next we'll see the whites marrying blacks.
We're all white here.
None of us is even Jewish white. Unless Mr. Gatsby.
No. But you work for them. Like that crook Jew, Wolfsheim.
I don't work for Meyer.
No, but you've had some pretty shady dealings with him. I've been asking around about you and that gangster. And this was the game, children.
We're not children.
And I'm getting sick of this game.
You really should hear this. Mr. Nobody from Nowhere here teamed up with Wolfsheim to buy up side street drugstores in New York and Chicago. Their best-selling item? Grain alcohol. That right, Gatsby?
That's right. And your chum Walter Chase was in on it. Happy to be. He was dead broke when he came to us.
Oh, I know about Walter. I know you left him in the lurch and let him go to jail for a month.
He had money when he came out.
He had knowledge as well. He knows things that could have you in jail under the betting laws as well as the bootleg.
That won't happen.
Maybe not. I could see how scary he was. I heard you fired all your servants. Your new people are friends of Wolfsheim.
They're a family. Used to run a hotel.
And they know how to keep their mouths shut.
There's been too much gossip already.
Gossip about married women visiting your house?
Are we back to the sanctity of marriage, husband dearest? Now why don't you tell our friends about why we left Chicago? Why not share that little spree of yours?
That's long ago.
You're all spreed out.
I made a fool of myself in the past. I don't deny it. But here I am, now, always.
Indeed you are. Right now and right here. And if that phone rings and you answer, will you start talking to George Wilson about selling him a car, just like you do at home?
Daisy, we're becoming unwise.
George Wilson?
Except it isn't him, is it? It's that wife of his, Millie or Myrtle or whatever her name is.
That's crazy.
I know it is. I've seen her. And you stopped at our place on your way in here today. We saw you.
We stopped at his place for gas. And the business about the car is real. Ask Nick.
I've got something to tell you, Buchanan, old sport.
Don't call me that.
Well, this has been delightful, but Nick and I really must go before someone does pull out an axe.
No, don't go. Let's hear what Gatsby has to tell. No,
if it's more about gangsters or racial intermarriage, I really...
Your wife doesn't love you. She loves me. She always has.
Well, that was worth staying for.
Do you love me, Daisy?
Yes.
Will you leave him to be with me?
Yes, I will.
Because you don't love him.
I don't.
You never loved him. You have to tell him. It's always been me.
It's always been you.
May I ask my wife a question? Daisy, did you love me in Hawaii? When I carried you down that mountainside to the hotel to keep your shoes dry, did you love me then? And what about the next morning, that long, long sunrise? Another question. During the last 5 years, did you even know this man was alive? How did you meet him anyway? Did he bring groceries to the back door?
Oh, don't be
here. No, because another thing I find out is that 5 years ago, he was penniless. Oh, look at her face, Gatsby.
Let me talk to you alone.
Even alone. Jay, I can't.
Daisy.
I can't. You're asking too much. I did love him once. I loved you, too.
You loved me, too?
Jay, I love you now. Only you. Isn't that enough?
Of course it's not. Because he wants it all. That's the hoodlum way. Well, he can't have it all. There are things between my wife and me that you can never understand. Things I can never forget, and neither can she. And we have a child.
So I've been told. I've never seen it.
What?
Well, have you seen it, Nick?
Well, no, Gatsby, I haven't, but...
He's insane.
Gatsby.
This is over. But my investigating you is not. There was something else on Walter Chase's mind. Something worse than gambling or bootlegging. Something he wouldn't even tell me because he was too afraid.
And what might that be, old sport?
I told you not to call me that.
Something to do with killing, was it? I know they say I killed a man. Like they say I'm von Hindenburg's nephew, or I'm second cousin to the devil. Well, I have killed a man. I've killed a lot.
Jay, stop.
In France, I took what was left of my battalion, just a few ragged and tired men, up against I don't know how many. I do know this. When our infantry finally got there, they found the insignia of three German divisions among the dead. Piles of the dead. Every Allied government gave me a medal. And Nick can back me up on that one, too. He's seen them, at least one of them. Daisy, I may not have always told you the truth, the absolute truth. At the start, maybe I let you believe some things.
Jay, please.
I didn't lie! I just let you believe that I was the same as you. From the same level as you. When in fact I was penniless. And before I went to France, I told you that. Didn't I? Told you I was poor.
Yes.
I told
you.
No,
please stop.
I told you everything that mattered.
Stop now, Jay.
I didn't try to hide my past. When I found you, it was like I had no past. Do you understand?
Yes. But I can't take this anymore.
Daisy.
Tom. Tom, please. I want to go home.
All right. The two of you start on.
The two of us?
Go in his car. I won't drive it again. Don't worry, he won't bother you.
Tom, what are you doing? Is this some kind of game?
The game is over. And even he can read that look on your face. He knows it's over. That right, Gatsby? Presumption all done. Sad flirtation over. Go on now. Both of you. Anyone want another drink?
I may never look at another mint julep again.
Nick?
No.
Did you notice Gatsby didn't drink? I don't think I've ever seen him take anything stronger than iced water or tea.
Don't look so glum, Nick. Daisy will be fine.
No, it's not that. I just remembered this is my birthday. Right here in this room, I turned 30.
30. The promise of a thinning list of single men to know, a thinning briefcase of enthusiasm, thinning hair. The promise of a new decade of loneliness. But Jordan is with me here in the car, sitting behind me. She's too wise or healthy with cynicism to carry best-forgotten dreams from age to age. Now her hand touches my shoulder, and up ahead I see four automobiles, one of them a police car, another an ambulance sitting in the road outside Wilson's garage, and a group of people who all turn to look at us as we approach.
That trouble you.
Do we have to stop?
Don't you want to know what's happened?
I'm sure we'll hear about it later, and I don't want to see anything.
You can go on. The road's clear now.
A collision?
Woman knocked down just at the bend.
What was she doing on the road?
Running. She came running out of the garage, waving at one of the cars.
But there were two cars?
Yeah, one coming from, other going to New York. They kind of wavered a bit, and there she was with her running and waving and knocked right into her. Must have been doing 50, 60 maybe.
Which car?
The one from New York.
What make?
Well, can't tell you the make. It was big and new and yellow. The other car stopped back there and the driver came running. Yellow one just kept on going. 60, I'm sure.
Did you know the woman?
Sure. I knew Myrtle. She was George's wife at the garage. I run the coffee place right next door and I was first to her. Strange thing. She was kneeling down on her knees with her head on the ground.
Dead.
Oh, no two ways about that. I was going to listen for a heart, but that was no use. Her titty was hanging right off, hanging like a flap.
Oh.
For God's sake, ma'am.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, ma'am. Anyway, road's clear now. You can go on.
The bastard didn't even stop. I'm going inside.
What for?
I have to. You two wait here.
He was going to leave her.
Leave Daisy?
No. Myrtle Wilson. He wanted rid of her. I'm sure he did. She needed too much of him. What a ghastly way to have a bad situation resolved. You're sitting very still, Nick. I wish I could see your face.
Well, she's home. That's her bedroom light.
Do you think he's in there? I don't mean in the bedroom, of course.
I don't see his car.
Come in and have a drink. I'll call you a taxi, Nick.
If you don't mind, I'll wait out here. I need some air.
All right. We'll talk soon.
You sure you don't want that drink?
No, thanks. I've had more than enough.
Ah. I can see your face now. Didn't you tell me once you try to reserve all judgments?
Up to a point.
And beyond that point, you'd have us all in uniform and standing to moral attention.
Moral and attention are not words I'd associate with Tom and Daisy. They're selfish and they're careless. You know what they'll do, of course? They'll disappear from all this. They'll hide behind their money.
Wouldn't you, if you had the money?
Maybe I'll disappear into my poverty.
Can that be done? I'm leaving, too. A man has asked me to marry him. And what's a girl to do in these dangerous times? Well, I'm telling you now because I could see you were about to throw me over. I've never been thrown over, and it's something to avoid if one can. I imagine it might make one dizzy.
There's a light in the kitchen now. I cross the gravel softly and look in. Daisy and Tom are sitting at the table. Between them are two bottles of ale and a plate of cold chicken. He is talking intently, his hands covering hers. She looks at him and nods in agreement. It is a picture not of happiness, nor of unhappiness, but of natural intimacy. Someone might think that they were conspiring together. I turn away from them.
Hello, old sport.
Where the hell did you come from?
Just back there in the bushes. I'm here to make sure there's no brutality.
Brutality?
He's capable. Did you see trouble on the road?
Yes.
Was the woman killed?
Yes.
I thought so. I told Daisy that. Better she got the shock of it all at once. She took it pretty well. It all happened in seconds. That woman came running at us as if she wanted to be killed. I tried to swing the wheel, but too late.
Why didn't you stop?
Well, Daisy... With Daisy there. Maybe scandal. Will you come to my house in the morning? Have breakfast? There's a story I want to tell you.
You should have stopped, Gatsby. They're a rotten crowd. You're worth the whole damn bunch put together. I'll always be glad I said that to you. I watched your face. The changing expressions. More images in a developing picture. Puzzlement first, then something like bashfulness. It might have become denial. And then at last, the smile. That smile of yours, that glow. As if you and I had been in cahoots all along. Did you understand the power of that smile? Did you know it could make a man feel accepted? Vindicated? Maybe sometimes it was put on like a mask, but not always. And that night it seemed to come glowing out from deep inside you. And you look splendid now too, Gatsby. A man of honor lying in state. A lord of business or a young king. You do look young.
Death. Old sport seems to have taken years off you. The coffin is the finest to be had, I made sure of that. There doesn't seem to be anyone else. Not yet, anyway. No, I haven't heard from Daisy, not yet, but... believe me, you look splendid. I don't suppose splendid would be the word for how you looked when we found you. What would be the word? Uncanny, maybe. Like someone fallen from another world. You were lying on the mattress with your arms spread out, fingers in the water. The mattress was moving very slowly. There was just one thin line of red drifting very, very slowly because of the flow of fresh water, I suppose, from one end of the pool to the drain at the other. The gardener found Wilson's body about 20 yards away. The gun, too. It was the car, of course, your fabulous yellow car. That's what led him to you, but how did he know it was your car? The police would have traced it eventually, but Wilson found out so soon. So who told him? Well, maybe that's Daisy. I sent a message asking her to call. Yes?
This is Slagle. Got my wire?
No, no wire.
They picked up young Park when he handed over the bonds. They got a cyclist from New York giving them the numbers just 5 minutes before. What do you know about that, eh? You never can tell in these hick towns. What now, Gatsby?
This isn't Gatsby. Mr. Gatsby's dead.
Jesus.
I'll get somebody for you. Trust me. You've been too much alone. I'm glad we had that breakfast together. That was quite a story you told.
My real name is James Gatz. Or that's my legal name. Jimmy Gatz. But I've been Gatsby since I was 17. Can you see me as Jimmy Gatz, old sport? No. No, right from the beginning, I was... Well, my parents were... I don't know. They never felt like mine. I couldn't accept them as mine.
Farm people. Stolid, unimaginative. How could an imagination like yours accept them as your people? Did you have the name Jay Gatsby ready for years? Ready for your moment? Yes. And while you were beating your way along the south shore of Lake Superior as a clam digger and a salmon fisher, anything that would bring you food and a bed, Gatsby was ahead of you, ready to be put on like a resplendent suit.
Well, I certainly wasn't dressed resplendent the day it all changed. I was in a green jersey with rips all over and a pair of canvas pants. I always loved that jersey. Then I saw a yacht drop anchor on the most dangerous flat on the lake, so I borrowed a rowboat and I pulled out to her. A Tuala Me, she was calling. And told them a wind might catch them there and break them up in minutes. The owner was Dan Cody.
The millionaire.
The millionaire many times, from the Nevada silver fields, from the Yukon, Montana copper, every rush for metal since 75. And there he was, looking down at me in my little rowboat.
Did you give him your smile?
Well, he was grinning down at me from that high deck and looking so happy, I just had to smile. And a few days later, I was in Duluth with Dan Cody. He bought me a blue coat, 6 pairs of white duck trousers, and a yachting cap.
You were Gatsby.
I was Jay Gatsby. And a few days after that, we were sailing for the Barbary Coast.
From digging for clams to sailing for Barbary.
And what about you, old sport?
What about me?
Well, from a clan selling hardware to dealing in bonds. How did that happen?
Easily.
It wasn't an ambition.
No, you could hardly call it that. Does anyone aspire to sell bonds? Except an ambition to be independent, and for that you need money.
And there was nothing you did, nothing you ever tried or imagined or just read about that made you think that might lead somewhere?
I did a bit of writing in college.
Is that so? I don't know. I read a lot.
Do you?
A whole lot. Ever since I learned the trick, I've been a reader. Some books I read over and over.
I was never going to write a book. The stuff I came up with was all too callow and solemn and obvious. But sometimes...
Sometimes?
Well, there might be a phrase or a sentence.
Give me one.
What?
One of your sentences. Say one for me.
Gatsby, this was before the war. At college, a boy. And you were going to tell me about you and Dave.
I'll tell you about that if you just give me one of your sentences. And don't say you don't remember. Huh?
I imagine a man of such high sensitivity to the promises of life. He might be akin to those intricate machines that register earthquakes 10,000 miles away. Good God.
Well, that's fine. That's very fine.
No, it's young and callow.
I don't know that word.
Well, it means...
I can guess. You're a watchful man, Nick.
I'm not a writer.
You watch and you listen to people. And you don't judge them too quick or too harsh. That might lead somewhere. That in the words.
Gatsby.
It might indeed. I mean, if you watch and listen close... Is there anybody who doesn't have a story worth telling?
I talked to Michaelis. He was first on the scene, and he runs the coffee shop next to Wilson's garage. It seems he saw Wilson a few hours before the accident. He'd had no customers for a while, so he strolled across to chat with Wilson. He found him in his office, looking sick.
Really sick? Pale as his own hair. He was blonde.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
I told him he should go to bed, but he said he couldn't. And then the damnedest racket broke out upstairs. Thumping and crashing and Myrtle yelling, George, George, you little bastard, let me out. He looked at me a long time, and then he said, yeah, he had her locked up in there. He was going to make sure she stayed there till the day after tomorrow, and then they were moving away, going west. And now, he starts asking me where I've been on certain days and at certain times, and had I seen Myrtle on any of those days? Well, you can imagine, questions like that make a man uneasy. So I made an excuse about customers and came back here.
A few hours later, Michaelis came out of his shop. He'd heard Myrtle shouting again. She was downstairs now and yelling at George to go on then. Go on and beat her. Throw her down and beat her. You won't, she said. You won't because you can't. You can't because you're a coward. Then she came running out into the yard, running and shouting and waving her hands, and into the road and into the path of your car. The death car, the newspapers are calling it. The car Wilson somehow found out belonged to you. Michaela spent most of that night with Wilson.
He just sat there, rocking in his chair and groaning now and then. And then suddenly he straightens up. And his voice is steady, and he says that a few weeks ago, Myrtle had come home from one of her New York trips with her face bruised and her nose all swollen. And then he's swaying and groaning again, and I thought that was all he was going to say. Hey, you want more coffee?
No, thanks. Was that all he said?
No. He talked about the yellow car, the driver. He said he killed her.
Well, yes.
He said he murdered her.
What?
Well, see... I thought that when Myrtle came running out of there, she'd been running away from George. But he seemed to think she'd been trying to stop that yellow car, and it didn't stop. It didn't even try to stop. It was murder, and George knew how to find him.
He'd seen Tom Buchanan earlier that day driving that car. Is that who he meant?
He didn't use any name, just that he knew how to find him. The man she'd been seeing in New York, the one who'd broke her nose, the one who killed her. Huh. Then... He said some really strange things.
What things?
Well, I was nearly sun up, and he went to the window. He stood there looking out at the ash heaps, and he said he told her, you might fool me, but you can't fool God. He told her, God knows what you've been doing. You might pull the wool over my eyes, but God sees everything. And he was nodding away at those big eyes out there.
The oculist's eyes, the advertisement.
Right. I told him, I said, George, that's an advertisement for an eye doctor. He just kept nodding and said, God sees everything.
Have you ever noticed, Gatsby, that when you're hoping for a call and the call doesn't come, the telephone looks smug?
smug and sly, like it won't meet your eye or it may have to laugh. My mind's coming adrift again. Very tired. I should tell you, Wolfsheim won't be here for your funeral. He said you'd understand. He also told me more about Dan Cody and his millions than you did.
The thing with the man was, the sober Cody never knew what the drunk Cody was up to. Both of them were lavish, but the drunk was reckless with it. He needed looking after, and Gatsby got the job. And the job taught Gatsby a lot, including stay off the sauce.
So when did you meet Gatsby?
He walked into Weinbrenner's pool room on 43rd Street looking for work. Not long out of the army and still in his uniform because he couldn't afford to buy regular. And that uniform was dripping in medals, rattling with medals, and he hadn't had a bite for 2 days. I gave him lunch. He had $4 worth in 20 minutes.
So you started him in business?
Started him. I made him. I raised him up out of nothing, out of the goddamn gutter. I saw right away I could use him good. Fine looking, young and shiny, gentlemanly ways. Been to Oxford. And right off, he did some work for a client of mine up in Albany. Before you know it, we're thick like that. Thick like that in everything. And now, he's dead. That is a bad shock. I am completely knocked down and out.
And you'll come to his funeral?
I'd be honored to come.
Thank you.
But I can't get mixed up in it.
Mixed up in what?
When a man gets killed, I have to keep out. I'm old now, all tied up in respectable business. I have responsibility, and that's a thing famous as a burden. And here's my message, Mr. Merriweather.
Carraway, Nick Carraway.
Apologies, here's the message. Nick, the lesson for the day. Let us learn to show our friendship for a man when that man's alive, not after he's wiped out. And if there's one man would understand that, it's Jay Gatsby.
Jay Gatsby. Jay Gatsby and his Daisy. You know, until our breakfast the other day, I got it into my head that you and she were chaste. That your romance was...
romantic. It was. She was the first nice girl I'd ever known. And I'd known lots.
I can believe that.
I started early. But with Daisy... well... I felt married to Daisy, even though I'd no right to even touch her hand. Even when I took her, I knew I'd no right to touch her hand. That's wrong. I didn't take her. She gave.
I believe that, too.
Actually, old sport, it was all a bit ravenous. I remember she had a cold, made her voice huskier, lovely, charming. It was October. We've been married since then.
No, she's not here. And she won't be here. She hasn't phoned, sent a card, a single flower. She's a coward. They all are. They'll retreat into their money, into their vast carelessness, or whatever it is. Whatever it is that keeps them together, keeps them untouched. They smash things and smash people, and then they disappear. Let others clean up the mess. Cowards. For all their bluster and all their swank, that's what they are. And maybe I've been one too. Have I? Well, at least I won't let you go through this alone.
Mr. Carraway, is it?
Yes. Who are you?
I'm Henry Gatz, Jimmy's father.
Mr. Gatz.
Is it all right to come in?
Of course. We'd no idea where you were, how to reach you.
I saw it in a Chicago paper. It was in all the papers. I got here in time. I can see him.
Yes. He looks fine. I'll go outside if you like.
No. I won't trouble you. Oh, he does look fine. You look fine, Jimmy. I expect that smile of yours to turn on like electric. You must have been a close friend of my boy, Mr. Carraway.
Yes, I was. As I said, we'd no idea how to, we didn't know what you'd want. Maybe take him home with you?
No. He rose up in the east. Let him lie here.
Must have been a madman did it.
Yes. Your son did nothing to...
Nothing to deserve it? Of course he didn't. Jimmy always dealt with people straight. You know, he told me once I ate like a hog. I beat him for it. But he was only being straight. If he'd have lived, he'd have been a great man. He'd have helped build up this country. My, he does look fine.
Had you seen him recently?
He came out to visit 2 years ago and bought me the house I'm in now. Since he made his success, he's been very generous with me. Of course, when he first run off, but I can see it now. He had a reason for it. He knew he had a big future, had to go after it. And 6 months ago, he sent me this picture. It's this house.
So it is.
You got to make quite a success to have a house like that. Like this.
Well, I could take you around.
Oh, and look at this. It's a book he had when he was a boy. Hopalong Cassidy. He read that book over and over. And look what he's written inside. Here. Just shows you.
Yes, it does.
He always had resolves like that. Just shows you. Jimmy was bound to get ahead. You can copy them out if you think you can use them.
No wasting time at Shafter's or the bandstand. No more smoking or chewing. Bath every other day. Read one improving book or magazine per week. Save $5 per week, $3 if emergency. Be better to parents. Rise from bed, 6 a.m. Dumbbell exercise and wall scaling, 6:15 to 6:30. Study electricity, etc., 7:15 to 8:15. Work, 8:30 to 4:30. Baseball and sports, 4:30 to 5. Practice elocution, poise, and how to attain it, 5 to 6. Study needed inventions, 7 to 9.
Born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly.
The minister's not even looking at the book.
No.
That's education.
Hello. Sorry, I'm late. You remember me? Deb Springer.
Of course. This is Mr. Gatz, Gatsby's father.
Gatz? You were a close friend of my son's Mr.
Cliff Springer. Yes, I was. I was often a guest, a house guest. I stayed over. I stayed whole weekends. Sorry, I didn't make the house.
That's all right. Nobody did.
Nobody? You mean this is it? What, 8 of us?
The rest are his servants.
Jeez. I'll come back to the house after. I've lost a pair of tennis shoes.
In a moment.
I'm pretty sure they're at Gatsby's place. Gats.
We really should listen to this.
Of course. Of course we should.
He's learned it all special.
This is really it. Poor son of a bitch.
And this mortal must put on immortality.
Nick! Hey, Nick, hold on. You're looking busy. What, you won't shake my hand?
No, Tom, I won't.
Well, what the hell's wrong with you?
How did George Wilson know the yellow car was Gatsby's?
I told him. And so would you if he turned up at your door with a gun in his hand.
I don't believe you.
You're calling me a liar?
You told him the night Myrtle was killed. You left Jordan and me in your car and went into Wilson and you told him then.
All right, Mr. Truth Teller, here it is. Gatsby had it coming. He threw gold dust in your eyes just like he did in Daisy's. And he ran over Myrtle like you would a dog. And just drove on.
Another lie. It was your wife who killed Myrtle.
You... I ought to knock you down right here in the street. Ah, to hell with you. You're finished, Carraway.
Gatsby wasn't driving. Gatsby would have stopped!
My final night on Long Island. I go west tomorrow. Go home. Disappear into my poverty.
My last few minutes gazing out across the sound. The only light I can see is the shadowy moving glow of a ferry boat. And I become aware of the old island here that flowered once for Dutch sailors' eyes. A fresh green breast of the New World. Its vanished trees, the trees that made way for Gatsby's house, once pandered in whispers to the last and greatest of all human dreams. For a transitory, enchanted moment, man must have held his breath in the presence of this continent, compelled into an aesthetic contemplation he neither understood nor desired. Face to face for the last time in history with something commensurate to his capacity for wonder. So I brood on the old, unknown world, and I think of Gatsby's wonder when he first picked out the green light at the end of Daisy's dock. His dream must have seemed so close that he could hardly fail to grasp it. He did not know that it was already behind him, somewhere back in that vast obscurity beyond the city, where the dark fields of the Republic rolled on under the night. Gatsby believed in the green light, the orgastic future that year by year recedes before us. It eludes us still, but that's no matter. Tomorrow we will run faster, stretch out our arms further, and one fine morning. So we beat on, boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past.
In The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald, Nick was played by Brian Dick, Gatsby by Andrew Scott, Daisy by Pippa Bennett-Warner, Jordan by Melody Grove, Tom by Andrew Buchan, Wolfsheim by Carl Johnson, Klipspringer and Michaelis by Sam Dale, Wilson and Henry Gatz by Gerard McDermott, Myrtle by Susie Riddell, and Alice by Amaka Okafor. The Great Gatsby was dramatized by Robert Forrest and directed by Gaynor McFarlane.
I saw this brown paper package which had Enid's music, repackaged 1955, on it.
Returning to BBC Radio 4, the series that tracks down the stories behind the scores of well-known pieces of music.
And I can read music just enough that I started singing it to myself and thinking, hang on a minute, I know what this is. This is very, very, very special.
Beginning with Benjamin Britten's score for The Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra.
It's just a virtuoso who composed that work.
Tales from the Stave, on Tuesday morning at 11:30.